Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for February the 5th, 2018. This is David Corey along with my co-host Richard Hurley. Thanks for joining us this evening. I'd like to give a quick shout-out to two of my nephews that are both on active duty. My nephew Daniel, who's serving a six-month deployment in an undisclosed location in the Middle East. Good luck out there, Daniel. Be safe. And my nephew Joel, who's studying to be nuclear submarine officer. He's just completed one phase, 24 weeks of training, and just starting another 24 weeks. So good luck to you, Joel. So wish them all the best, and thank you them for their service. Hello, Richard.
Hey there, David. And, yeah, good luck to your nephews there. Good stuff. And family tradition, good family tradition. And good evening, everyone. Tonight our special guest is Mark Field, a Navy veteran, Arizona businessman and publisher and editor of the National Veterans Magazine. But first, I'll remind everyone that this is a call-in show that welcomes your views, comments, and questions. You can call us at any time during the show at 1-888-627-6008. Again, the toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. And as I said, this is the Veterans News Hour. This is your show, veterans. So call in, let us know what you're feeling, what's going on with your life, and any reflections on the VA and anything that they're doing for you or not doing for you, as the case may be. So please, let's hear from you. And back to you, David.
Thanks, Richard. It's our great privilege to have on our show tonight special guest Mark Field. He will talk about his publication called the National Veterans Magazine, as well as many issues of interest to veterans and their families. Mark Field served in submarines in the U.S. Navy from 1981 to 1989. He now lives in Arizona, and he has worked in the mortgage banking business for two decades. Last year, he won the award as Mortgage Loan Originator of the Year for 2017 from the Arizona Real Estate Journal. For years, Mark has been active in supporting many programs for veterans throughout Arizona as well as the entire country. As just a few examples of his success with many projects to help veterans, in 2015, Mark was selected as the Veteran Small Business Champion by the U.S. Small Business Administration for both the state of Arizona and the entire 11-state western region. In 2010, he started a homeless veterans clothing drive, which resulted in a tremendous amount of clothing donated to both U.S. vets and the Manor House. In 2011, he established a veterans job creation program to give former homeless veterans working delivering door hangers. He put over 24 former homeless veterans to work for the Manor House. And in 2012, he created a veterans hiring program for Tiffany Construction and the Palo Verde Nuclear Generating Station to hire veterans for security work. He hired, trained, and managed 10 veterans to work at numerous construction sites. He also started the Arizona Veterans Magazine in 2013 before expanding it to a national publication in 2016. So without further ado, let's welcome Mark Field to the Veterans News Hour tonight. How are you, Mark?
Good. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's our great privilege. So we have lots to discuss tonight, so let's just jump right in. Why don't you tell us more about yourself and your Navy service?
Well, I joined the Navy originally from Brooklyn, New York, and my first goal was to get out of Brooklyn, and the Navy provided it. I remember they asked me, what did I want to do when I joined the Navy? And I said, I wanted to work on aircraft. Next thing I know, I'm on a submarine. I learned a little bit about that. I should have, if I wanted to work on aircraft, I should have probably gone to the Air Force.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I served in the Air Force myself, and as I mentioned to you the other day, my first active duty assignment after training was in your neighborhood out there, Luke Air Force Base in Arizona. I really came to know and love Arizona a lot. So,
yeah, beautiful. 82 degrees today in Phoenix, Arizona. So it's a nice way to spend February.
Oh, absolutely.
I came out here as well after the service. I came out here to finish my college degree in Tucson at the University of Arizona. And I came to like it. It's like 80-degree February. You know, this is really not that bad of a place. Plus cheap
right.
housing. You
yep.
can buy a brand new house in the outskirts of the Phoenix metro area for like $120,000, which comes out to like $650 a month in a mortgage.
Wow. Now you're in the town, you're in the area called Surprise, aren't you, Mark?
Yeah, I actually live in Surprise.
Yeah, I know. That's just north, I think, of Luke Air Force Base. And when I was stationed out there in the mid-80s, that area was just wasn't anything like it is now. I'm sure the population.
Now
really
there's 130,000 people, one of the largest cities in Maricopa County.
Yeah,
and a lot
yeah.
of servicemen. I mean, I see people in their uniforms all the time at the supermarket because you're only about 10 minutes away from the base.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a great area. The summers are a little warm, but I think
air conditioning.
Warm. Yeah, yeah, right. Right. So, Mark, why don't you tell us more about the National Veterans Magazine, how you got started with that, and then some of the goals you have for it.
Well, I actually did two magazines in the 1990s, a golf magazine, a tennis magazine. And I've been talking about wanting to start a veterans magazine going back all the way, you know, as far back as like the late 90s. And I never did it. And finally, after about talking about it for about 15 years, finally I said, you know, you're either going to do it or stop talking about it. And so finally I did it. I said, let's empty our 401k to pay for the cost of it. And let's get it started to see where it grows. And it started just as the Arizona Veterans Magazine, and which is an interesting part because we got to Yuma. And I wanted to go to San Diego, which is so beautiful, and you have the ocean. And
right.
And we couldn't because we were the Arizona Veterans Magazine. So I was like, well, wait a minute. I need to really give this some thought. And it came down to it. I had to ask myself. I said, well, Mark, do you want to be the Arizona Veterans Magazine or do you want to be the National Veterans Magazine? And we had to let that go. And Senator McCain, actually, we had a meeting with Senator McCain to go over a whole national expansion plan, and he had been handing out the magazine on Capitol Hill to other senators and congressmen for years, and I
wow.
couldn't believe they would have any interest in it because it's in Arizona, but they still were interested in it. And so he helped me see that this had much more national appeal than I was realizing. He inadvertently
wow.
did that. So I've always been very fond of Senator McCain because he inadvertently helped me see the light.
Wow! I saw on your website some photos with Senator, maybe it was your Facebook page with Senator McCain, and I posted one of them, you and Senator McCain with a copy of the magazine, and I posted on our show's website so our listeners can. And go to that website, bbsradio.com.
He's been so, I've come to know him, you know, as a friend, and he's been so friendly and open with his time. You know, I'm just really, he's just such a nice guy. In fact, he's got such a warm personality and a sense of humor. In fact, I told him a joke. I was at a government oversight committee meeting of the Armed Forces, Veterans Affairs Committee or whatever that the Armed Services Committee that he oversees. And they were having an oversight hearing on the VA. And I was talking with Senator McCain and former Maricopa County District Attorney Rick Romley, who is a Marine Corps veteran. And Senator McCain's son is a Marine veteran. And I mentioned, as a submarine wrench, I mentioned to Senator McCain, I said, you know, I learned this in submarine school. The best Marine is a submarine. He bowed over laughing. Like, I mean, he said he'd never heard that before. I mean, my joke, and he's actually been spreading around my joke on Capitol Hill.
Wow.
To
wow.
Admiral. He's been telling this joke to admirals in the Navy on Capitol Hill. So I get a kick out of my submarine joke is spreading around Washington.
Wow, that's great. I have a little Senator McCain story myself. When I was stationed out at Luke in the Phoenix area, I once went to a flea market, and I was collecting at that time almanacs, you know, where you buy an almanac for every year because I like to study the history. and I happened to buy one, and embossed in gold lettering on the front was Senator McCain's father's name, who also had been an admiral in the Navy.
Right.
And I thought, wow, I wonder how that book possibly ended up, you know, in a flea market. I never did find out, but I thought that was pretty fascinating.
Yeah, that's a great find.
Yeah. So what would you say, Mark, are your goals right now for the magazine? I know you talked about expanding nationally. What are your goals?
Well, you know, everything in the growth of a business is step by step. So things I can't see today, but I get one step closer. So we had planned on launching a San Diego edition, and I went out to San Diego, and I was out there for a week or so, you know, talking to car dealers and home builders and getting all the support you'd need to get together to do a project like that out there, similar like we were doing in Phoenix. And then I realized, I said, you know, I'm not going to be able to expand San Diego and then expand Los Angeles and then expand Denver and then Colorado Springs and Seattle and Austin and San Antonio and Dallas and Houston and Atlanta and Jacksonville and Miami and Philadelphia and New York and Boston and Hartford. I mean, I will be expanding cities for the rest of my life.
Right.
So I realized, I said, okay, that is not the right solution. So I thought about it. I was like, let me see if I get this straight. We're doing Arizona already, so we're not going to stop doing that. But what's the real need? We have the model already. What's the real need to have a second local market? I mean, spread myself so thin that I'll accomplish nothing. And so right. I kind of came away after the week. I said, you know, we could launch in San Diego. But I said, I think it's better we pull back a little bit and figure out how do we launch nationally. And then later on, San Diego, Los Angeles, Denver, Dallas, we could put a whole vet reps all over the country to work. But we don't have to do that now. So I kind of came to the conclusion that we're not going to expand market to market. That's just too, because originally I was planning to give a different product to Denver, a different product to Dallas, a different product to Tampa, a different product to Phoenix, and you know, come on, that's too complicated.
A lot of work, right?
And even like I said, Senator McCain helped me see that, because I remember thinking, well, if we're going to eventually have all these different editions in all these different markets, and I'm talking to a various senator or congressman who might be from Pennsylvania or Oregon or New Jersey or Florida, I'm going to have all of those various papers with me. I wouldn't be able to keep them straight.
Right.
So I realized the paper needs to become one paper. What they read in Denver is going to be the same as what they read in Phoenix, what they read in San Diego. It was just too complicated the other way.
Right. Right.
And so that's kind of where we're at now. We're trying to, you know, not make every mistake in the book. But,
right.
You know, slowly, step by step, we keep getting closer. You know, finding national sponsors, it's hard because companies, they only see you one way. So I'm actually holding off now contacting some of the national companies because I don't want them to just see us as an Arizona publication. I want them to see us as a national publication. So we're kind of like in the middle of both. We're not quite there nationally all over the country yet, but we're ready to start attracting sponsors. I don't want to have to go back to a sponsor and say, hey, you backed us in St. Louis. Will you back us in Sheboygan?
Right.
You know, I want a company that says, we back you everywhere. Key West, Seattle, Denver, Dallas. The whole country, and the SBA has been hugely supportive. I took a 6 month emerging leaders package through their Phoenix office, where they brought in all these speakers and consultants just to help give you guidance on how to grow. How do you find what works in one market and expand it into all over the country. That's logistics is going to be the hardest part, which is funny. That's what I did in the service. My job was logistics.
Ah.
So that's you know, getting papers. How do we get, you know, bundles upon bundles of papers to VA medical centers and clinics in Massachusetts, Maine, Florida? Oh, the SBA, one of the things the SBA said in the class, which really hit home, is they said to me one time that the assistant director for Arizona said, "Mark, we want to see you from Massachusetts to California." And it was funny because I was at the stage where I was still expanding state by state, and we had just launched Texas, and now we were launching California. And I remember when I showed him the Texas edition, he just shook his head no. He's like, he knew we were on the wrong path trying to localize it in every market. And he said, "We want to see you from Massachusetts to California." So a combination of, you know, between Senator McCain helping us see that we had national appeal and the SBA support, finally, you know, we realized that it's going to have to be this way. Now, we want to be able to add later on local editions. So people, for example, car dealers and local businesses. But a car dealer in Denver, he's not going to pay for advertising that's going to Phoenix. And a Phoenix car dealer is not going to pay for papers that's going to St. Louis. So
Right. You've
got to be able Right. To give those companies what they need. So the burden's on us. In fact, in the very beginning, the veteran writer for the Arizona Republic asked me, he says, "Mark, is this a newspaper or is it a magazine?" I said, "That's a really good question." I said, "Publishing is so complex these days that it's a hybrid of both. We're like a magaloid."
Mark, let me ask you this. Yeah, let me ask you this, Mark. As far as the content, how do you see the focus of this publication?
That's great. I've always believed the primary role of the magazine is to help veterans heal. And I remember reading something that was in a journal. It talked about that the number one thing that helped a veteran with their managing depression and suicide prevention, and it's a combination of a lot of different issues, but the number one thing was having their individual story heard. That's why if any of these congressmen or senators, they have to have very strong veteran constituent services, because they are going to hear every story that a veteran has that he's suffering from. And if they don't allow them to at least tell their story. And so the magazine is really a place for those stories to enhance and bring those, you know, helping veterans heal. And I can't tell you, you know, the feeling of somebody having their picture in the paper impacts them. It just makes them feel that they're a part of a community.
Wow.
And then, you know, we have our core issues. I mean, suicide prevention, reducing opioid reduction, managing depression, diabetes prevention, helping homeless veterans, job development. But the key ones, the beginning, the suicide prevention.
Wow.
And you know, it's funny. When I first started with the magazine, it was about the third issue. And I ran into, at one of the events, the veteran rep for Senator McCain. And he said to me, "Senator McCain really likes the magazine." Now, Wow. Granted, it's not our role to write all the negative. You can't even believe the negative things that people say. I can't even believe, how could you even talk to another human being with such vile, but politics is that way. People just being practically burn them at the stake, the things they write. Well, we don't write that. You're not ever going to find something derogatory about Senator McCain or any other senator. That's not really my role to start, you know, choosing sides. In fact, one of the things I really took a lot of pride in was when one of the senators from the Arizona legislature, who was a very strong conservative, voice, he told me that he got responses back from other senators and representatives in Arizona, including many from the other side, the Democrats' side. And he said that they really liked the magazine and they felt it was balanced and fair for both sides. I wasn't there to choose the side, and, you know, that's not my role to do.
Right. Well, I understand that because, you know, obviously we know the military is supposed to be apolitical, nonpartisan, and that should extend to veteran issues. Why should it be?
Absolutely. I'm here to build infrastructure for this country. I mean, I put stuff in the paper about, look at all the money we're spending overseas for Egypt and Afghanistan and Iran, all these countries that hate us to death, and they're building their healthcare system and education systems. I take offense to that. I mean, our country is crumbling. I mean, we don't have high speed. They had high speed rail in Japan since 1969. And in China, they have high speed rail that goes like 327 miles an hour. I mean, so we spend our money. This country wastes its money on issues and not building its infrastructure. So I'm big on the building the infrastructure.
Yeah, meanwhile, our Amtrak trains are running into each other.
It just shows we're nowhere near being able to do high-speed rail at multi-hundreds of miles an hour. First of all, we'd have to have a separate dedicated track. In China, when I was on a tour of China, and one of the things I was most interested to see, they have a separate 22-mile track that goes from the airport in Shanghai to downtown, and it's a separate, independent track, so there's no other trains on it.
Wow.
That thing goes like 300 miles an hour. And that was a test. The Chinese government did a test to see if this was sustainable, and they would then expand that from Shanghai to Beijing, a major undertaking of infrastructure. Our country doesn't think that way. We spend all our money in like a backdoor car game, and then there's no health care for this country, and there's no affordable housing. I mean,
I remember when
I grew up, America was the greatest country in the world when I was a kid. There's no other countries even close to it. Now we're like ranked 30th.
Well, we all need to start working together. Mark, let me ask you more about the veteran issues. You've worked on a lot of veteran issues in Arizona. You received a lot of awards and commendations from government leaders and veteran leaders in Arizona. I know that. Can you tell us more about some of those? And along with that, could you tell us more about some of the programs that you've helped promote to deal with the things you talked about, like suicide prevention, veteran mental health issues, those sorts of things?
Well, I've gone to a lot of veteran meetings, and you know, sometimes I get frustrated by the lack of action. And I've always tended to be an action person, so I'd rather just get in there and get something done. And I'll give you an example. I started a clothing drive. You know, I got a little blurb paragraph written up in the Arizona Republic, and I got it on a couple of radio shows. I think the team, my phone would not stop ringing. I mean, I got calls, a 92-year-old World War II veteran who's on hospice care, to come get all his clothes. He wants to donate it to the homeless veteran shelter. And I realized, I said, you know, he's in Mesa, the shelter's in Phoenix, there's 20 miles difference between the two. I do some quick math in my head, Mark, if you don't go out there and get those clothes, it'll never get to where it needs to be. You need to be the bridge to get them there. And the guy was in tears knowing that his clothes would be going to help to clothe veterans who have nothing. And we ended up raising like over 1,000 pounds of clothing. In fact, they called me and they said, Mark, no more clothing. They said they need jobs. So we started a job development. So, I mean, they told me to stop the clothing. They had plenty of clothes. They had no place to store all this clothes, and switch my focus to jobs. And we've been focused on trying to develop different job programs for veterans. In fact, the whole magazine is to hire veterans. Like, for example, we talked about logistics. How am I going to get 1,000 bundles out in St. Louis, 50,000 copies in St. Louis?
Right.
I can tell you this. It's going to take at least 1, 2, 3 veterans who are going to be doing it. and in St. Louis and Kansas City and Seattle. And so we expect we're going to have as many as 300 vet reps selling advertising, doing distribution, doing community service projects, all kinds of things like that.
Right. Well, that sounds great, and it's really inspiring to hear what you've done. I understand what you're saying about how you go to some of these veteran groups, meetings, and sometimes they're not accomplishing a whole lot. That's not to denigrate anyone, but you step in and you say, okay, we got a problem, what can we do to solve it? And another project I thought was pretty intriguing, and if you could tell us more about it, was some therapy for veterans with PTSD involving the outdoors and fishing, that sort of thing. What can you tell us?
You know, about 3 years ago, I mean, I love the outdoors. Anybody who lives in Arizona, the outdoors is spectacular, especially when you get away from the urban areas. I mean, you get to any city is going to look alike. Car dealers, McDonald's, you know, those kinds of things. But you get 20 minutes outside the city, and all of a sudden it's the mountains, it's the cactus, the lakes, and all that stuff. So we wanted to institute, you know, like a fish therapy program. And it's funny because it really has nothing to do with fishing. I mean, it has nothing to do with the fish. It has more to do with just the healing nature of being in nature.
Right.
And so we started doing fish therapy programs, you know, multiple pages in the paper. You know, like, for example, the one veteran at the Arizona State Veterans Home, his dying wish was to catch a fish, the last fish fishing. So they wheeled him out in his hospital bed to the local lake, and he had a little line there, and they sat him out there, you know, on his bed until he caught a fish. They caught a fish, and that was emotional to him. And so the VA, you know, has been very supportive of helping develop programs like this. In fact, my goal is to put together a program with the VA and the Arizona Game and Fish Department to provide, in fact, there's legislation pending now to provide free fishing licenses for disabled veterans.
Oh, I
mean, because, again, it has nothing to do with the fish. It has to do with, you know, that they might be disabled. They might not have the resources. I'm amazed at some of the disabled veterans and their abilities. And I can tell you, it's very humbling because it makes me, it's like, boy, Mark, if you were ever going to complain about something, you shouldn't. Compared to some of the things that some of the people, I mean, blind and, you know, it's just, you know, it's just amazing the strength. In fact, getting back to the PTSD, we're working on for the next issue this group. It's called the Boulder Crest Therapy, and they have a Virginia and an Arizona location, and they do what's called post-traumatic growth. So their intention is to teach the veterans how to grow from these experiences. What didn't kill them made them stronger.
I see.
And it's overwhelming, the strength that some of these people have lost limbs and are disfigured and have you know, all kinds of physical, mental issues, and they're able to find, you know, like even we did a page on Bobby Henline, who's become a professional comic. He was burned all over his body. He's had over 100 surgeries, and he uses humor to heal. For example, he uses it in his comedy routine that I had a good time in Iraq, but that last tour was a real blast.
Oh, man.
And you have to really admire somebody who could be able to smile and see all the beauty of life through those military experiences. So I feel it's my destiny to make sure I give a voice to as many of them. He wants to open up a restaurant, a fast food restaurant. So I've been helping for the last couple of years, him raising money so he can have his American dream and hire veterans and have his own fast food restaurant. And then there's the guy, the Hector, who's the deported veteran. He's down in Tijuana. He's been deported from the U.S. And that would make a great story. I'll put you in touch with him. You know, hard to believe when your country turns its back on you. And most veterans would never even, I wouldn't even understand what that even feels like. This guy is going through experiences. It's just hard to even believe that this country would put people through something like that.
So Mark, tell us a little bit more about that veteran. I'm not familiar. Go ahead.
I'll send you a page on it after the show's over.
Okay.
Basically,
great.
Some of the veterans are not U.S. citizens, so people are able to join the service, and it's supposed to be a fast track to citizenship.
Right.
But surprisingly, you know, there's all kinds of discrimination that goes on in the service. I mean, you're an attorney, so you can understand that. So,
right.
There's situations where a guy did his 4 years of time, but the paperwork was never done properly, never got the command's approval, he never got the citizenship. Well, he gets out of the service, he goes about his everyday life, ends up with a minor thing. I mean, a DUI or, you know, a JY, I don't know if it's JY, a felony, but not necessarily something that's life-threatening.
Right.
And boom, next thing you know, he's deported.
Wow.
And so this guy, Hector, he's been deported for 14 years. He runs the Deported Veterans Support House in Tijuana. So if you Google deportedveteransupporthouse.com, we've been raising money. His rent down there is $290 a month. And we've been putting in the paper every issue, and people have been donating it to help cover his rent down there.
Wow. Well, thanks for letting us know about that. I'll look into that further. Perhaps we can have him on.
It's amazing. There's so many different voices, and that's what I've always wanted the magazine to be able and willing to tell every story, every voice. We want to do a page on transgender, gay, lesbian. I'm not sure the World War II veterans could handle that. I'm just wondering if, it might be just too extreme for them to be able to handle. But I mean, it's a reality.
Yeah, I'm betting it would be. Yeah, I'm thinking it would. But Mark, let me ask you about something else I found intriguing from what I've learned. That and tell us maybe what the latest is. I understand in the state of Arizona, the legislature was considering starting a Arizona lottery ticket that would support veteran programs.
You know, I've been pitching that for the last couple of years, and I got interest in it, but it's hard. Nobody, like, for example, I had one legislator say to me, they said, "Mark, I love the idea, but I can't publicly support it because I'm in a district that's the religion, Mormon, doesn't allow gambling. I don't want to be in the..." So there's a lot of factors. But the idea was, it's modeled after a Texas program. For example, when I was expanding into Texas, they had billboards up in Austin, San Antonio, promoting this lottery ticket to support veterans programs. They've raised over $90 million like in the last 10, 15 years of it. $17 million or $15 million just this last year. People are buying tickets just because they know it's helping support. So we've had it introduced 2 years in a row. It didn't make it last year. We'll see if it makes it this year. Cause, you know, I didn't realize when I put forth these programs, I thought, it's like, here's a good idea. Call me when the governor signs it into law. No, that's not going to work like that, because I didn't realize I was going to have to go around from senator to senator, so winning all their support. So I didn't realize I was getting myself into an issue that's going to be a multi-year project now.
Yeah, be careful what you
really
volunteer
what it's
for.
Become. So it's right. And I don't know if it's going to be able to get through, because Arizona is a conservative state, and they're very against any increase in taxation, and so there's some dislike for it.
Right. I get that. Let me ask you before. I know Richard Hurley had a few questions for you, but something you said earlier about some of the goals of the magazine included, dealing with PTSD, but also you mentioned, I think, opioid addiction and abuse. Before I turn things over to Richard Hurley with some questions, Anything you can share on that, either projects that you're aware of, insights that you have from being so involved in veteran issues?
I see a lot of changes coming. The VA is spending so much money on the drugs, and the drug companies love that. They and the congressmen, you know, they get a lot of money from those drug companies and healthcare companies not to make changes.
Right.
So they like it the way it is. But there's a lot of treatments, alternative treatments that are being developed. There's the VA is finally studying oxygen, the hyperbaric oxygen, which has had tremendous effects. For example, in Israel, any soldier who has any traumatic brain injury, anything, concussion, anything, 40 dies in the oxygen tank, 1 hour a day for like 40 days in a row. First thing they do, mandatory, required. It doesn't cost that much money. See, that's the problem. And everything in America, it's about the money. So why is there not oxygen? Because oxygen is free. Why does marijuana legalization stall? Because that's free. Nobody's making any money off of that. So the pharmaceutical industry and the healthcare, they put so much pressure on the political arm. Like, I get calls all day long or something from the marijuana legislation. Oh, I'm trying to get the VA to do with this trial. I said, the VA can't do anything. It's against federal law. They're not going to risk their job. You got to make the change in Washington. You got to call the congressmen and get them to vote it. The VA, they'll do what they're told, but they're not going to go against federal law.
Right. They've got
so, I mean, I've been amazed by how many people, they don't know where the fight is.
Right.
I said, the fight's in Congress. You got to get the country's going to change from there.
Mark,
Richard
Hurley.
Yeah,
we had a call in last week to our show, Rebecca Winkler from the Panhandle in Florida. And she was talking with the congressman from that area, and one of the things that he was trying to do was to start, and he's been working on it, basically the test case of using veterans and marijuana for the PTSD. And he's very proactive on it. And, you know, he's trying to, you know, to work it into D.C. through Congress and everything else. And as I was listening to her talk about it, he was just speaking the other day up there, and I listened to some of it. I think that what you just said there about the fact that he's trying to do something that the federal government is against, to see if he's going to be able to implement it, it's going to be very interesting, because you really do have to get everybody on board. And we all know that the drugs that they're throwing at these veterans for PTSD are just horrific.
It's funny. I had a senator ask me. He said, "Mark, is there anything to this?" You know, I was much younger than he was, so we thought I might have some insight into it. And I said to the senator, I'm not going to name which senator, but I said, "Senator, we shouldn't be afraid to find out the scientific research. We shouldn't be afraid of that. I mean, if marijuana proves that it helps with depression, I mean, they say that it has all kinds of health benefits in helping diabetes, helping depression, helping PTSD, helping reduce suicides. Well, what's the big harm in that? And it's funny, when the legalization, I couldn't even convince my mom that she should support that. And I asked her, I said, let me ask you this question. Does it bother you that the supermarket sells tequila, even though you don't drink it? She said, no. I said, well, then why would it bother you if a veteran is finding success and peace with marijuana? Why does that why would that bother you? You're not forced down to do it.
What'd she say?
Well, she understood that, but you know, the TV makes a compelling argument by misleading the facts in a 30-second TV commercial, and that's why it failed in Arizona. But they can't stop it because it's passed legally. Like, for example, it's recreational legally now in all these various states, but yet you can't use it for medical. That's ridiculous. It should be just the opposite. The medical should come first. If there's any medical benefit, that should, I mean, please, if people are using it recreational and you're saying you can't use it for medical, that's corruption right there in America.
Yeah. Well, that's a big topic we could probably devote more time to. But, Mark, I know you have a lot of expertise in mortgage banking in this business, and Rick Hurley has some questions for you about that because I know you have a lot of insight that veterans and their families can benefit from. Rick.
Sure.
It
might not be as interesting a topic as marijuana, but what can you share with us and the veterans about VA mortgages and buying a home?
Well, interest rates are going up. There's no question about that. But interest rates are still very low.
The market's going down.
Clients like 3.75%, which, you know, you take $150,000, $170,000 mortgage, and that's only $800-$900 a month. It's not a big amount. I'm always amazed when I see the prices of some of the houses that they have in the outskirts of Phoenix. I'm amazed if anybody left in places like Cleveland and Buffalo and Syracuse and all those cities that are just 4 degrees right now. It's 82 degrees in Phoenix.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think people realize that you could find a home, and veterans could buy. The best part of being for a VA loan is that it's 100%, no money down. So that's a great thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, Mark, I'm from New Jersey, and I say kind of, and I live in Florida now, but I kind of say the same thing. I talk to my friends that are still up there, and a lot of their families are still there, and New Jersey has these ethnic pockets, and these people don't want to move.
Yeah, it's hard. Some people are very tied to their areas.
They would not want to move to an area where I live, which is pretty redneck. There's no way they'd move to Florida, even though we've got beautiful weather and we've got all these beautiful things and we're not far from the water. They'd be so displaced by moving into an area which is very redneck. And so I understand why they don't,
One of the things I want to share, though, on the mortgage thing is people don't realize this. Like, more people should be in a 15 or a 10-year mortgage. So I try to get as many of the people, the clients that I have, get them out of debt. Let's get rid of the car loans. Let's get rid of the credit card debt and get you into a 15-year mortgage where you can actually own your house. And I'll give you the best example I had one time. I had a gentleman who's a truck driver, and he had a second mortgage. And the second mortgage was $843 a month, which is a big second mortgage payment. And when we did the payoff came in at $60,000, which was a red flag to me because I remember the client said it was $60,000 that he borrowed. It turned out he had been paying on it for 3 years. They were taking $842.50 to interest and 50 cents a payment to principal reduction.
Wow.
I mean, that should be criminal.
Yeah.
You'll never live long enough to ever pay that loan off. I took him and his wife out of that garbage loan, and I put him into a 15-year mortgage where he was paying down now over $1,000 a month to principal reduction. That, to me, is the most rewarding feeling in the mortgage industry, is to take somebody out of a garbage situation and put them on a path where they actually will own their home.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Is there any other advice you want to give our listeners about the veteran programs?
Well, I'd say get involved. Find your place. You know, and not so much with the various groups. Find something you can do that nobody else is doing, like the clothing in your area or bottled water or maybe resume assistance, or go down to the suicide prevention place and be willing to, you know, man an overnight shift, say. Find something you're motivated to do. For me, the magazine was it. It was something I could dedicate my life, my soul to, and has nothing to do with money. I couldn't even care less about the money.
Yeah, I always tell my kids, find happiness first and the money will follow.
And it's funny, you know, somebody said, this one guy that I know, a veteran, minor injuries, and he's disabled. And he said to me, he says, Mark, you were on a submarine. Why don't you just claim your PTSD and get the disability? Tell him you're disabled. I said to him, I said, you know what? I feel so enabled from my service. I couldn't even be doing anything in my business if I hadn't served in the Navy. The Navy and my whole career in mortgages. I was in supply, logistics, purchasing, and contracting. It's very similar to the mortgage business. Getting something through a system that doesn't want to go through. And you got to force it, nudge it, push it, you know, find ways to get something through. And I could never, the Navy taught me the most important thing that I use in the mortgage business, which is attention to detail. I could tell you this, mm-hmm. if I were taking down your information, every word, letter, last name, spelling, address, city, everything would be exactly perfect. Because I know to do that perfect up front. If you don't, you have no place in the mortgage business.
Yeah, that's right. I've done a lot of closings in my time, and I can tell you that's exactly right. And a good mortgage broker is tough to find.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Keep up the good work.
Well, the
hey, Mark,
mortgage industry wants us out.
Hey, Mark, how can our listeners learn more about the National Veterans Magazine, and how can they get a copy?
You know, you can get a copy online at nationalveteransmagazine.com. You can read it online, and it'll be available in all the VA clinics, all the vet centers, sometime by later this year.
Well,
we're already looking at trucks to buy. We think we have to go into the trucking business to do this properly. I don't really anticipate that we're going to be able to pay, say, Federal Express or UPS to do all our distribution of 1 million copies. No way. We're going to have to be in the trucking business to do that.
Wow. Well, if I could just jump in here. Yeah, Mark, it's a great project. If I can be of help in any way, just keep me in mind. I'd be glad to. And something you said earlier really rings true with me because, you know, we hear so much from veterans who rightfully so have been, you know, they seek compensation, they have PTSD from the military service. But on the other side of the coin, like you mentioned, the military service has done so much for so many people, too.
Absolutely. I mean, the school opportunities, college, I never would have had a chance to go to college without the service. And again, just, I mean, now all of my mortgage business, for the most part, are veterans. And they're choosing me because I'm a veteran. I never realized my whole career was going to be based on the fact that I was a veteran. And I'm so thankful that I had the foresight when I was young and, you know, not as knowledgeable in the world, that I made the choice that I thought it would be a good thing. And it was. It really was. Because I see, like, for example, I was in a mortgage company one time, and two of the guys who never served in the service were sitting around talking about how to do more VA loans. And I stuck my head out of my office, and I said, well, why don't you go down to the Army recruiter and join the Army? Because that's the only way you're going to get into this market. You can't fake your way in.
Right.
You either earn your way in or you're not getting in. And
right.
To me, that's like the greatest feeling in the world is that I don't have to do anything to make myself feel like any more American. I know I'm an American, and I know I'm a veteran, and I know I did my part.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your service.
It's such a great feeling. It's so internally rewarding. And I love the mortgage business because every situation is different. I had one time, I came out of a client's house at 12:30 in the morning. And I was there for 4 hours going over all of this information with them and all the documents and all the various things, all the questions they had. And I remember when I walked out of there, it's like 12:30 in the morning. I know no other mortgage person would be coming out of a house at 12:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And so I love the feeling of knowing that you can't call Chase at 12:30 at night to answer some questions.
Right.
So I love the feeling that I know I'm doing something that I know nobody else will do, and that's just a great feeling.
Yep.
And that leads to repeat and referral business. And if you don't get repeat and referral business in the mortgage business, you're done. So if you're a one and done kind of person, meaning that somebody does business with you, I've had people say to me, I'll do business with anybody but so and so. Because once they find out you're not ethical and you misspeak and you're sloppy with the numbers and the important stuff, you're done.
Wow. Well, Mark, thank you so much for sharing your insight about so many veteran issues tonight. It's been a great conversation, and we certainly wish you the best with the National Veterans Magazine and all the many projects you have. So
let's do it again and do maybe like a six-month update to see where we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have an open invitation. Let's stay in touch, and thanks again so much for being on our show. We certainly wish you
great success. Sure. I'm going to send you information on the deported veterans.
Thanks. Thanks, Mark.
Yep.
Thanks again.
Okay.
We'll talk to you soon. Good night.
Good night, Mark. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, Rick, that was it was great to have Mark Field on our show tonight talking about all those many issues, and we will stay in touch and have him back on our show hopefully soon with some updates. We've got about 5 minutes left, and Rick, I don't know if you wanted to make another announcement about the Burn Pits documentary, just to remind our listeners out there about it.
Yeah, we've been talking about that for quite a while now, and it is an important issue. Burn pits were used by the U.S. military in Iraq and Afghanistan, and today have caused lung diseases and various kinds of cancer to U.S. troops stationed near those pits. You know, I talk about burn pits a lot when I'm out socially, and it's amazing, you know, because there's such a small population that served in this country. And when I tell them about the burn pits, it's amazing how the people just look at me like I just dropped in out of the moon. They can't believe it. And so it's something that people really need to focus on. And you can do that by looking and going to see this film, Delay, Deny, Hope You Die, How America Poisoned Its Soldiers. On September the 11th, there will be Greg Lovett was interviewed. He's the film director. On September 11th, he was on our show. And this film deals with the important issue about burn pits and all the health problems. So by all means, please check that out. If it's in your area, you can go on Facebook by typing in the word burn pit documentary in the Facebook search engine and check it out. And you can really see what these American GIs, men and women, have had to deal with. This is this generation's Agent Orange, Camp Lejeune, and we really need to focus as much media attention on this as possible. Back to you, David.
Yep, and another website is to go to tugg.com. And type in its search engine, Delay, Deny, Hope You Die for that film. And you can find where the film's being screened around the country. Or if you're interested in becoming a film promoter at your local theater, tug.com is a great way to do that. So we're about running out of time tonight. So we've got about a quick minute. Rick, if you want to remind our listeners about the Coaching into Care program, and then it'll be time for us to go for this evening.
Yes, thank you, David. If you are a family member of a veteran who has left the service and is having a tough time transitioning to civilian life, please be aware of the VA's program called Coaching into Care. It helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. Coaching into Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call, toll-free 1-888-823-7458. Its hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Again, the VA's Coaching the Care number is 1-888-823-7458. In addition, I'd like to once again remind listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has the Veterans Crisis Line to help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they didn't get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. All right, David, take us out.
Well, we'd like to thank our special guest, Mark Field, for being with us tonight. Very interesting interview with him. I'd like to thank all of you for listening to the Veterans News Hour here on BBS Radio Station 1. I'd like to thank our producer, Mr. Doug Newsom, and we'd like to invite our listeners to become show guests, sponsors, and advertisers. Our contact information is on the show website, bbsradio.com/TheVeteransNewsHour. You'll also find archived podcasts of our prior shows here for your benefit. So please tune in next week, same time, same station, for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, we hope you have a great week. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.